This is your tech news briefing for Friday, September 30th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Last December, we released a three-part series on a Wall Street Journal investigation into how users of TikTok could end up seeing seemingly endless streams of content about eating disorders and self-harm. TikTok says it's made changes to block or remove this kind of content. But these videos are still finding their way into users' For You pages. On today's show, our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon joins us to explain the latest research into this and the workarounds users are finding to post and find harmful content. That's after these headlines. We report exclusively that telehealth startup Cerebral had software that could verify customers' IDs, but didn't use it to flag minors. That policy resulted in some minors being treated without parental consent, according to former employees and documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. An internal memo reviewed by the journal described the software ID check as an obstacle to consumer retention. The software captured selfies of patients but relied on clinicians to verify details such as age during a 30-minute video chat. Cerebral and other telehealth companies grew quickly during the pandemic by advertising heavily on social media and offering mental health treatments and prescriptions for stimulants that previously required an in-person doctor's visit. In a statement, the company said it had, quote, provided much-needed care to hundreds of thousands of patients, many of whom would not otherwise have access to care, adding that it's tested different ways to verify IDs in its registration process, but has always met legal requirements. An update on tech hiring. Sources say Facebook parent Meta is implementing a hiring freeze and will be taking more steps to reduce the company's costs. CEO Mark Zuckerberg notified employees of the freeze on Thursday during his weekly all-hands meeting. It comes after the Wall Street Journal reported last week that Meta was planning to cut expenses by at least 10% in the coming months, including by trimming its ranks. The social media giant has already begun encouraging a significant number of its staff to leave by reorganizing, giving affected employees a limited window to apply for other roles within the company. Google says it's shutting down its video game service, Stadia, after it failed to attract enough users. Stadia was launched in 2019 with the idea that users could stream games directly to devices like their TVs or phones without needing a console like Sony's PlayStation or Microsoft's Xbox. Analysts were skeptical of its prospects because the service faced stiff competition. In a blog post, Stadia's general manager said Google is still committed to gaming and sees ways to use the technology in other parts of the company, like the Google Play Store and YouTube. Tesla has added the co-founder of Airbnb to its board. The addition of Joe Jebbia this past weekend brings the total number of Tesla board members back up to 8. It fell after Oracle co-founder Larry Ellison didn't stand for re-election this year. Regulatory filings show Jebbia waived entitlement to cash compensation at the moment and joined the rest of the board in waiving immediate equity compensation until July 2023. And people with type 1 diabetes see promise in a medical device that could better manage their condition, a bionic pancreas. Research published in the New England Journal of Medicine on Wednesday shows that the device from Beta Bionics, called iLet, regulated patients' insulin levels better than other treatments. Our medical science reporter Dominique Mossbergen explains how it works.
There are basically two parts to it. There's a continuous glucose monitor. It's a type of sensor that you wear on your skin, which continually monitors blood glucose levels every 5 minutes or so. And then there's an insulin delivery system, which includes an infusion set that you wear on your skin, and it has a tiny catheter that goes under the skin and that can deliver insulin into the bloodstream. And that infusion set is attached by a tube to an insulin pump, which is a handheld device about the size of like a credit card. And the insulin pump has both cartridges of insulin inside it and also firmware that processes the information coming from the glucose monitor. And based on those readings, it determines how much insulin to administer.
Makers of the iLet say it's different from other wearable insulin devices because it can calculate how much insulin a patient needs. The Food and Drug Administration gave the iLet breakthrough device designation in 2019, but it hasn't yet cleared it for general use. All right, coming up, TikTok says it's made changes to block content about eating disorders and self-harm. So why do some users say they still can't escape it? We'll discuss after the break.
This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, know it's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
You might remember that last year we brought you a special three-part series called The TikTok Spiral. A Wall Street Journal investigation found that TikTok's algorithm was flooding some teens' For You pages with videos encouraging weight loss and disordered eating. We heard from three of them.
I saw a lot of videos of people saying what I eat in a day.
It made me start thinking maybe I should start purging to get rid of the weight.
Eventually, there were like some self-harm and suicide ideation. I would just swipe and that's it. My feed was literally like mostly consisting of that.
The series was part of an even bigger WSJ investigation that showed TikTok's recommendation algorithm would funnel users into seeing videos on a narrow range of topics. Last December, TikTok, which is owned by Chinese parent ByteDance, said that it was adjusting the way its algorithm makes recommendations to avoid overly focusing on one type of content. And 2 months later, the company expanded an existing ban on content related to eating disorders. But 9 months on from the WSJ investigation, there's still plenty of that harmful content on TikTok. Here to discuss why is our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon. Hi, Julie. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right, you spoke with users who say they are still seeing eating disorder content when they're on TikTok. What kinds of things did they describe were coming up on their For You page?
Yeah, it seems to have changed from being really blatant videos that are promoting disordered eating and extreme weight loss. It's become a bit more subtle. And the difficult thing about that, according to mental health experts, is that it's harder for teens to discern what is healthy diet-related videos from unhealthy. And so some examples of that include a topic of videos that are kind of broadly under the umbrella of what I eat in a day. And oftentimes these videos will have, you know, the people in the video showing what they eat throughout a day and how much calories they consume by the end of the day. Oftentimes the calorie count is far less than what the FDA recommends people consume in a day. And so for people who may really need to lose weight, that could potentially be helpful. But to a lot of people, that can be harmful if they're trying to emulate sort of restricted food intake throughout the course of a day. Another category of content on TikTok, which TikTok says it allows on its platform, are eating disorder recovery videos. And for some people, it can be really helpful to see the journey that someone has gone through in their recovery from an eating disorder. But for a lot of teens that I've spoken to, those kind of videos can end up being kind of harmful and end up fueling some competition in them. Various eating disorder experts say that eating disorders are a very competitive type of disorder to have. And so in some of these videos, people will show photos of themselves before and after. So showing photos when they were at their thinnest versus where they are in their recovery now. And so some teens I've spoke to said that that makes them feel like maybe they didn't lose as much weight as that other person did. And also sometimes sows doubts in them about whether they themselves were ever as sick as the person they're seeing in that video.
So TikTok says it allows recovery videos, but it has put in place restrictions to block other harmful content. And yet these videos make it onto the platform. Is this just about videos falling into a gray area when it comes to being harmful? Or are there other ways that users are getting around this?
It's a bit of both. You know, certainly there are some videos that are more nuanced and might not be considered a blatant violation of TikTok's community guidelines. They might not be pro-eating disorder per se, and can in fact be helpful and inspiring to some people who see them and potentially triggering to others who see them. But then there are ways that people have found to kind of get around some of TikTok's filters. So for example, certain obvious eating disorder related terms have been filtered out on TikTok. So if you're searching the word anorexic in TikTok's search engine, you won't find videos that contain that hashtag. Instead, you'll be directed to messages from the National Eating Disorders Association. But until recently, people could simply do a Google search and search the hashtag anorexic TikTok and go right to those videos that contain that hashtag. And it might be more in the realm of pro-eating disorder content. I brought that to TikTok's attention, and they have fixed that. But there are a lot of other workarounds, including misspellings of eating disorder-related terms, transposing letters, including numbers, different ways to get around the hashtag filters.
So has TikTok said anything about the content still being on its platform?
What they said to me was that caring for a diverse global community is a responsibility they take seriously, and that they're mindful that triggering content is varied and unique to each individual.
How do mental health and eating disorder experts say they're dealing with patients who are, you know, using social media and finding themselves in this position? Because it just doesn't seem like it's going away.
That's right. Mental health experts say that there probably will never be a completely safe space online for people who are struggling with really any kind of mental health issue and eating disorders in particular. There's just a pervasive diet culture online to begin with and offline as well. What some mental health experts have told me is that it's, you know, unfortunately falls to people who are using social media to try to run away from this content and to try to block it themselves. You know, one mental health expert said she had a patient who basically had to retrain her TikTok algorithm by not only unfollowing diet-related accounts, but then following body positive content creators and liking their videos to indicate to the algorithm that she wanted to see that type of content. But again, it's not perfect. And it's also a big ask to expect someone who's struggling with something to make a conscious decision to get away from it.
All right, that was our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon. Julie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. We had editorial assistance this week from Ariana Osperu. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Join the Wall Street Journal for the WSJ Pro Sustainable Business Forum happening online October 13th. And take away practical advice on how to build a sustainability strategy that's right for your business. Use code PODCAST and save 20% on your online pass. Register now at wsj.com/sustainablebusiness.